Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2023 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
Good morning, and welcome to the LDSHE Online Midwinter Conference of 2023. Our theme this year is what matters most, and that's what I will be speaking on today. This is the theme for all of our 2023 conferences this year, including the in-person conferences this May. We will have a conference in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and also in Salt Lake City, Utah. We felt that it's so easy to become overwhelmed with so many things that we all could use a reminder to refocus and spend our energy on what matters most. I hope that these conferences help re-energize you in a way that is beneficial to yourself, your family, and your homeschool. So just a little introduction to me. This is my family. We weren't able to get family pictures this year. So this is actually last year's, or well, I guess this is 2021's picture. We didn't get pictures for Christmas like we usually do. But I'm married to my husband, Quince. We're going to be celebrating 21 years of marriage on the 15th of this month. We met while serving active duty in the Army. We were stationed at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. Because of this, we've traveled a little bit, and we've also spent some time apart. We've moved around some. Currently, we live in Maryland on the land of the Piscataway and Susquehannock Native tribes. We have five children. The oldest three are boys, age 16, 13, and 12, who are attending this conference as well. And then the youngest two are girls, age 9 and 7. We adopted our youngest from China in 2018, and she's been a great addition to our family. I have a master's degree in education. I teach online classes to homeschoolers. I was a homeschool blogger for many years at Chestnut Grove Academy, where I did homeschool reviews for the Old Schoolhouse review crew. I run a Come Follow Me Instagram. It's Come Follow Me Daily Verse, for anyone interested. And I am also the marketing director for LDSHE and the director of this online conference. So thanks for joining us. Okay, so we can easily learn about life by studying nature. The rings of a tree are a great example of this. By studying the rings of a tree, scientists can learn about climate conditions over thousands of years. During ideal conditions, trees grow normally. When conditions are not ideal, growth slows down and more energy is devoted to meeting the basic needs of the tree. Another example is turbulence. I stole this example from Elder Uchtdorf, who loves to talk about planes, right? Turbulence is the sudden change of air movement, which causes the airplane to unsteady. Airplanes are built to withstand turbulence of great amounts, but nevertheless, it is quite unsettling to passengers. Actually, recently there was in the news a serious turbulence event that actually caused injury to people, which doesn't happen very often. What do pilots do during such events? A less experienced pilot may decide to increase speed in an attempt to get through the turbulence faster. However, a more experienced pilot understands that there is an optimum turbulence penetration speed to minimize the negative effects, which in most cases means to decrease their speed. The same theory applies to speed bumps, right? We slow down to go over them. We don't speed up. If you do, you might do a lot of damage to your car. It's important to apply this principle to life as well. Right? When things get crazy, you need to slow down. There is more to life than increasing its speed. In other words, we need to focus on what matters most. Right? Dieter Uchtdorf said, we cannot and must not allow ourselves to get distracted from our sacred duty. We cannot and we must not lose focus on the things that matter most. When determining what matters most, it's best to go back to the basics. First, our relationship with God is most sacred and vital. We learn in the Gospel of Matthew that the first great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Our second key relationship is with our families. We must place high priority on our families. We build deep, loving relationships with our family through T-I-M-E. I don't know if you remember the old, there used to be Mormon ad commercials on TV. That was one of them. I saw a great quote on Facebook the other day. It stated, relationships before rigor, grace before grades, patience before programs, love before lessons. And as a homeschooling mom, right, as we all are, I thought that was such an important thing to remember. The third key relationship we have is with our fellow man. These relationships are built one person at a time as we listen to the Holy Ghost. Guide us in meeting the needs of others through service and giving of our time and talents. Right? The Gospel of Matthew continues with the second great commandment, right? The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, which brings us to the fourth key relationship, ourself. Take time to know yourself, to care for yourself, and most importantly, to love yourself. We have to take care of ourselves before we can take care of anything else, right? To go back to the airplane, when there's an emergency, we're told to fasten our own oxygen masks before we help those around us. And here's that quote that I mentioned, relationships before rigor, grace before grades, patience before programs, love before lessons. While those basics are important considerations for life in general, here are a few more that are more specifically related to homeschooling. Meeting your child's individual needs physically, mentally, spiritually, and academically is a big perk to homeschooling. Every child in your school can receive their own individualized education plan to help them succeed to their utmost potential, and those plans can vary greatly from child to child. Family relationships are another bonus to homeschooling. Remember, relationship before rigor. Family relationships are what last the longest, and therefore are one of the most important aspects of homeschooling. Notice this is number two, before educational resources and even compliance with state regulations. Utilize the resources available to you in your community, online, etc. These resources can help you place number one and number two at the forefront where they belong. Of course, we also believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates, and obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. So therefore, compliance with local regulations is also an important part of homeschooling. But we can find a way to be in accordance with the laws while also placing needs, well-being, and relationships first. So what matters most to you? Different people most certainly will have different answers, and that's okay. This is a personal question and will vary for each and every one of us. So if anyone would like to, you can put in the chat, or if you're able to unmute, you can unmute and share. When you ask yourself this question, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What matters most to you? Time, okay. Health, family, being together.
This is Sarah Gray. I actually just figured out just recently that I have to do a little bit of things to fuel up myself before I start the day. And that way everything, especially my kids, I have more energy to last longer with them.
Love that. Thank you for sharing, Sarah. Yeah. So taking, re-energizing yourself. Good. Relationship with God. Okay. What God wants, making that the priority. So when searching the church website, the LDS website, and Google for what matters most, I found a wide range of answers. This was from a homeschool blogger. I'm often asked, now that I have the benefit of hindsight, what mattered the most in our homeschool? My answer surprises many homeschooling parents, but here it is. What mattered most for his overall success was helping him develop confidence in his abilities in everyday life. This is what matters most, our families. Quietly caring for the life of the soul is what matters most. What matters most is what lasts longest, and our families are for eternity. What matters most in learning is attitude, the attitude of the teacher. I kind of like that one. Your heart matters most, so be gentler and more patient with yourself. And their hearts matter most too, so be kinder and more compassionate to others. What matters most is how you see yourself. To achieve an extraordinary result, you must choose what matters most and give it all the time it demands. The heart is what matters most of all. What matters most is how well you walk through the fire. I guess that could, you know, what is the fire? That could be an adaptable quote. It doesn't matter how rich, talented, educated, cool, or attractive you think you are, how you treat others ultimately tells all. Integrity matters most. The most important thing that matters is spending time with those you love. So surround yourself with those who love, support, and care for you unconditionally. And here's a little video I want to share from President Monson about what he says that matters most.
I believe that among the greatest lessons we're to learn in this short sojourn upon the earth are lessons that help us distinguish between what is important and what is not. And what is most important almost always involves the people around us. Often we assume that they must know how much we love them, but we should never assume. We should let them know. Wrote William Shakespeare, they do not love that do not show their love. Despite the changes which come into our lives, may we fill our days as much as we can with those things which matter most. May we cherish those we hold dear and express our love to them in word and in deed. Send that note to the friend you've been neglecting. Give your child a hug. Give your parents a hug. Say, I love you more. Always express your thanks. Never let a problem to be solved become more important than a person to be loved.
The four things that matter most in improving relationships, according to Ira Boyack, MD, who's the author of The Four Things That Matter Most, a book about living, are, please forgive me, I forgive you, thank you, I love you. Comprising just 11 words, these four short sentences carry the core wisdom of what people who are dying have taught me about what matters most in life. That was a quote from Boyack. Yeah, we're going to talk some more about that, Sarah, as we go. Sarah said, I think what I struggle with the most is not that I need to choose better. The most important thing, I do that. I struggle to appreciate what I'm doing, that I'm doing the most important thing in that moment and not worrying that I should be doing something else. Yeah, that can be hard. So we need to find that confidence in our choices. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. All right, with so many distractions, do we have the strength, discipline, and commitment to remain focused on what matters most? Here's another story from Dieter Uchtdorf. He shared this in a talk given in April 2009. On a dark December night, 36 years from then, a Lockheed 1011 jumbo jet crashed into the Florida Everglades, killing over 100 people. This terrible accident was one of the deadliest crashes in the history of the United States. A curious thing about this accident is that all vital parts and systems of the airplane were functioning perfectly. The plane could have easily landed safely at its destination in Miami, only 20 miles away. During the final approach, however, the crew noticed that one green light had failed to illuminate, a light that indicates whether or not the nose landing gear has extended successfully. The pilots discontinued the approach, set the aircraft into a circling holding pattern over the pitch black Everglades, and turned their attention toward investigating the problem. They became so preoccupied with their search that they failed to realize the plane was gradually descending closer and closer toward the dark swamp below. By the time someone noticed what was happening, it was too late to avoid the disaster. After the accident, investigators tried to determine the cause. The landing gear had indeed lowered properly. The plane was in perfect mechanical condition. Everything was working properly, all except one thing: a single burned out light bulb. That tiny bulb, worth about 20 cents, started the chain of events that ultimately led to the tragic death of over 100 people. Of course, the malfunctioning light bulb didn't cause the accident. It happened because the crew placed its focus on something that seemed to matter at the moment, while losing sight of what mattered most. We cannot and must not allow ourselves to get distracted from our sacred duty. We cannot and we must not lose focus on the things that matter most. So what are the failed lights that cause distractions in our life? You can put in the chat or unmute. Okay, so Candace says, if I start with a prayer and ask, what is the most important thing for me to do today? Even if my whole list of things to do doesn't get done, I know I got the most important thing done and I'm good. Awesome. I love that, Candace. So what are some of the failed lights in our life? Anyone care to share? What are some things? I think, you know, kind of what Sarah shared earlier, right? Kind of thinking about maybe those other things that, you know, aren't as important, but, you know, they're still kind of there looming. Clutter. Yes. House cleaning. Clutter again. Yes. Messages. Okay. My distraction is like, so your own like thoughts, right? I'm not doing enough. I should be doing more. Louisa, YouTube. Right? YouTube, Twitter, or Instagram reels, TikTok. Yeah. Okay. Things that we procrastinate. Okay. So things that we know we should do, but we're kind of not doing them. My phone, the fires, the little things that come up that really aren't important, but yes, kiddos fighting. As marketing director, I have friends who are like, oh, I just got off social media. And I'm like, I can't. And and it does, it sucks you in. So I try to like go in, do what I'm supposed to do and not get trapped. Other people's opinions. Okay. Yeah. Worrying about what other people think when it doesn't matter. All right. So let's talk about how we focus, right? How do we decide what matters most and what are those little light bulbs that don't matter, right? I think a lot of times we already know. So it's just a matter of focusing. So Dallin Oaks said, we have to forego some good things in order to choose others that are better or best. All right. It is very easy to get lost in all the amazing resources that are available to us. There has never been a better time to homeschool as far as accessibility goes, right? There's so many cool things, right? We want to do all the things. So many amazing opportunities, activities, co-ops, classes, field trips, and more. Many homeschoolers find that they aren't actually home very often. While this may work well for some, it isn't the ideal for others. Deciding what matters most can help us better prioritize how we spend our time. Elder Oaks stated, just because something is good is not a sufficient reason for doing it. The number of good things we can do far exceeds the time available to accomplish them. Some things are better than good. And these are the things that should command priority attention in our lives. So I loved how Candace shared that she prays in the morning about what's the most important thing that she needs to get done. And that is her focus. Elder Ballard further cautioned us, don't overschedule yourselves or your children. We live in a world that is filled with options. Take time to listen, to laugh and to play together. Additionally, he encouraged us to also find time for ourselves to cultivate our own interests. And I think a lot of times, I love that Sarah mentioned that, you know, she has discovered when she, you know, pays attention to herself and has her own little routine each morning, that, you know, re-energizes her and puts her in a better place to be with her children. Because I think a lot of times ourselves are one of the first things that we neglect. And that is important as well. So what's good, better, or best? How do we decide? How do we prioritize? Here's one approach to determining priority. And I thought of this when Christina mentioned the little fires that pop up, right? So this method is also used in Stephen Covey's 7 Healthy Habits book. If you attended my time management class at the East retreat last year, I talked about this matrix there as well. But it's to help us rank our tasks, things that we need to do, right, into 4 quadrants. So we have the urgent and important things. So these are the tasks that we should do as soon as possible. Then we have the urgent but not important things. Okay, these are kind of those fires that pop up that Christina talked about. And these, you know, it says delegate these tasks to someone else. And unfortunately, as homeschool moms, when we're maybe the only one home, we don't always have someone else to delegate these to, but maybe we could delegate to an older sibling or something of that nature, right? We have the important but not urgent matters, okay? So we can decide when we'll do these and then schedule them later, right? They don't have to be done right now, but they definitely have to be done at some point. And then there is, of course, the not urgent and not important things. And these are the things that you can just forget about, right? They're not important. They're not urgent. And we just can push them to the side. There's also the Ivy Lee method. Okay. This is limiting yourself to 6 tasks or less each day. Okay. So they kind of relate this to like a work day, but I think it very easily could be related to, you know, homeschool or just life or even activities, right? Limiting yourself to which activities you put your kids in. So if you limit yourself to 6 tasks or less each day, it creates a constraint that forces you to prioritize properly and then stay focused by single tasking your way through your list. So at the end of each workday, you write down the 6 most important things that you need to do the next day. Do not write more than 6. Prioritize these 6 items in order of their true importance. When you start the day, the next day, concentrate on the first task. Work until it's done, and then move on to the next one. Approach the rest of your list in the same fashion. At the end of the day, move any unfinished items to the new list of 6 tasks for the following day. So if you complete 3 of them, then the next day you'll move the other 3 and add 3 more tasks to the list. Okay? And then you just repeat this process every day. So this could even be applied to your children, right? Their school tasks, right? If they're feeling overwhelmed about the amount of things that they need to do, you can make a list of 6 tasks that they need to complete each day for school. Other methods, you can do a brain dump, list everything you need to do. And then if you could do only 1 of those things, which one would you do? And this is kind of like what Candace was saying, right? She prayed about what is the most important thing that I absolutely have to accomplish today, right? Ask yourself the question, if an emergency arose and I had to leave town suddenly, what is the 1 thing on the list I'd have to do first? Okay, that is obviously your most important thing. Gary Keller's question in the 1 thing, what's the 1 thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? So this question Sarah answered, right? When she says she has to take care of herself first in the morning, right? That's the 1 thing that she can do to make the rest of her day easier. So what's the 1 thing you can do, right? Of all the things on your list, what's the 1 thing you can do that will make the rest of your day easier? For me, one of the first things I do every morning is I put dinner in the crock pot. I use the crock pot pot almost daily. I teach online from 1 to 5. My kids have their evening activities with swim team, and my oldest is working, and, you know, church activities and just all of these things that if dinner is not done when I get off, I have to really scramble to get something together. So putting dinner in the crock pot every morning makes my day so much smoother. As soon as I get off work, dinner's ready and we can eat. So that is my one thing that makes the rest of the day a lot easier. We know what matters most in life. The light of Christ teaches this to everyone. We have the Holy Ghost to teach us the things of eternal value. So how do we determine what matters most to us? We have the gift of personal revelation from God. What is best for us, our families, our children, our homeschool, these are all well within the framework of our ability to receive personal revelation. In the most recent conference, Elder Renland testified, "I know that the Holy Ghost can and will show you all things that you should do. Ask God and your path will be directed. Don't be afraid to pick the best over the good." Okay, so remember the nature lessons we mentioned in the beginning, right? We talked about rings on trees, air turbulence, right? Well, these aren't the only important lessons that nature can teach us. Okay, nature is flexible and resilient. Nature is able to adapt to its existing condition. Flexibility helps it endure and makes it stronger. Being able to adapt quickly to changes in life is important, right? So this is something that we can, you know, kind of work on, right? Working on our flexibility. That's one thing that I love about homeschool is that it allows for flexibility, but then sometimes my own, you know, mind, my own anxiety kind of gets in the way of that flexibility. And I have to remind myself, right, that it's okay to be flexible. Nature knows what is good for her. Everything in nature resolves around self-preservation. Processes in nature preserve the ideal balance in their individual habitats. As humans, we have a strong potential to be constructive. We need to listen to our intuition, develop a growth mindset, and do the inner work, all of which will lead to greater understanding of intentions, values, and purpose. We will better be able to recognize and respond to emotions and maintain balance in life. And I feel like this goes into that praying, listening to the spirits, right? Our that intuition, using that to help us gain a sense of balance.
Hey, Jen.
Yes, Candace.
If you could go back to that one, what I saw with that picture with the flower in the middle was balance. Like the nature, this flower knows how much to give out, but how much it needs to pull in. And there's balance so that that flower can stay in that homeostasis, that place of self-preservation or health. And like you said earlier, we oftentimes push out, give out more than we're bringing in to take care of ourselves. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, exactly, right? We need to make sure that we are receiving in as much as we are putting out, finding that balance. Hey, nature is ever changing. Many individuals find it difficult to embrace change. Learning to accept change is good. Being able to accept change leads to greater adaptability and freedom, right? So then again, that flexibility that we need to kind of allow for ourselves. Nature is never in a rush. Humans are always in a hurry, right? We overload ourselves with work and activities, which leads to greater stress. We do better to stop, breathe, disconnect, set priorities, and change the tempo. In nature, everything has a purpose. Humans are often working to find their purpose, which can often be found by looking more closely at nature. Observing nature can help us build a connection to it and other beings, creating and executing ideas and helping others find happiness and enjoyment in life. All right, so it's taking time to smell the roses, right? We can learn a lot from that. What goes around comes around. Circulating energy applies to all living things. As humans, practicing gratitude can help us experience positive change in our relationships, moods, as well as our mental and physical health. People who are happy and satisfied in life are the ones who change the world by helping other human beings find meaning and joy as well. Right? So taking that time to show gratitude, to be thankful. I remember a couple years ago, President Nelson kind of had that social media challenge of sharing things you were thankful for. And it was just so beautiful to see so many people on social media focusing about the things they're thankful for instead of complaining about all the things that are happening in the world, right? So really taking that time and being thankful. An ocean is a sum of water particles. We may often feel alone in this big world, but every individual is part of a greater system. Each of us plays a role in this vast universe. And I just love that, right? Every water particle comes together to make the beautiful ocean. And all of us as well come together to make this beautiful world. Nature is collaborative. It is gratifying and rewarding to work together as part of a bigger project. Having mind-delight companions helps make life richer. Finishing the race called life together is much more fulfilling and of great value than coming in first all alone. This is why I love LDSHE. It makes us each part of a bigger picture. As we strive together to do what we feel is best for our individual families, we can help uplift and encourage others along the path. Okay, so here are some tips for determining what matters most. Okay, this can be applied not just to homeschooling, but to any aspect of life. Think about what matters most to you. It's important to keep in mind that what matters most can change, even constantly, based on your children and your situation. While the core may remain constant, the means of arriving at the core are ever changing. Okay, even Marie Kondo, who you know, where she was the the cleaning lady, right? She had a series on Netflix, right? Does this bring me joy? If not, you get rid of it, right? She recently stated, up until now, I was a professional tidier. So I did my best to keep my home tidy at all times. Now I realize what is important to me is enjoying spending time with my children. She realized what matters most now is different from before and made adjustments. Keeping in mind the lessons from nature and the tips for prioritizing, let's really think about what matters most to us. Okay, so I'm just going to run down these questions, right? So these tips, give yourself space and time to think, right? To kind of meditate, pray, and then write down your impressions. Write down what matters to you. Seek help from those who know you best. Ask yourself questions. How do you want to feel and why? How do you want to be remembered by friends, family, coworkers, etc.? And why? What were you created for? What is your mission in life? What is your passion? You were put on this earth for a reason, and knowing that reason will help you determine your priorities. Who do you admire? What do you admire about them? If you admire your best friend, do you admire her commitment to her career, family, or other things? How she keeps her home, her sense of style, how she always remembers her friends, birthdays, her sense of humor. If you admire a celebrity or author or public figure, what do you admire? Her philanthropic, I can't say that word, causes, her talent, her boldness. Why do you admire those things? How could you incorporate those things into your own life? And these are great questions that you could even use with your children, right? To help them set priorities and set goals. Be brave. Be confident and be honest. Learn from your mistakes. And it's not always the answers that matter. What's important is the process of asking. What is your motivation and what makes you happy? Okay, don't forget to constantly reevaluate. Ask what matters, what can get you there, and are you still happy? Keeping all of these things in mind, I hope you can come up with a set of workable goals to focus on what matters most for you and your family. The answer to this question helps drive your future decisions. Talk about this question with your children as well. What matters most to them? I feel like I should say the name of Jesus Christ, but maybe amen.
Thank you, Jen. That was great. You did wonderful.
Thank you.
So what we'd like to do is have a question answer session, and either in the chat or if you would like to unmute yourself, let's have a discussion and Jen can field those questions for us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kara. I was thinking about what Sarah had mentioned earlier about even when you know you're doing what matters most and what you've prayed about, but being present in that moment, I think it's really hard for me. And I think it's hard for a lot of people. And I think I've learned something in my life that matters a lot is to practice being mindful and mindfully present so that I'm getting the most out of like the feast of this life that the Lord has provided for me, because I tend to like be sitting at the feast going, but what are we going to do next? Where are we going to go next? What if my kids are hungry later? Like all of this constant rhetoric is going on in my head, but it really makes a difference when we work on practicing like present mindfulness, which is something I'm trying to learn from my 6-year-old, because she's always mindful, like always living in the present moment, to a fault maybe, but she, you know, like finding that balance and trying to enjoy when I'm doing what matters most.
Yeah. It definitely is hard. I love that the concept that you said of, you know, mindfulness, like present mindfulness. I think that is important, because we do tend to, you know, be everywhere else, right? With our minds, go with our minds elsewhere. So yeah, an important thing to be aware of, being present. Sarah, I think, put something in the chat. Yeah. So for me, my personal growth, besides scriptures, changes occasionally for what is best. I can't do all the things I want to do to grow all at once. Yes, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept, right? That's here a little, there a little. Nature grows at the right pace. I wonder why we want to rush our own growth. I think we don't see the rate of our growth, but we are growing in huge leaps and bounds or little inches. It's all good growth. Yes, it's so true. And we kind of do the same for our kids sometimes too, right? We don't want them to like grow up fast, but then at the same time, we want to push them to do things that we think they should be doing when they're not necessarily ready, right? So yeah, taking things in stride and letting the natural process of human nature, play its role. Yeah, so important. Oh, I love that too, Cassie. That's great. I set goals at each season change and try to consider what's needful that season. Yeah, love it. I remember in a Temple Recommend interview at one point, like they had asked me like how often I go to the temple. And at the time I had a lot of really small kids, right? My parents live far away. And they said, you know, to everything, to every season, to every time there is a season or something like that. Right. And that, you know, you just do the best that you can in that season and, you know, focusing on what's important in that season. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, Emily. Yeah, not to compare our growth or the growth of our kids to others. Yeah, comparison is the theft of joy, right? When we look at other people and where they're at and what they're doing, and then, you know, use that as a measure of ourselves. Yeah. And it's hard not to do that in this day and age, right? When everybody's stuff is just all out there, right? But we have to remember that they're showing their best stuff and we're comparing their best stuff to our worst stuff, right? Which is not even a fair comparison in the least. So we don't see everybody's worst stuff. Yeah, that was a good reminder to me too, Nicole. She said, it's a good reminder, you know, that we need to get out in nature. Yeah, I mean, you know, God gave us so many things to learn from, right? I mean, yeah, we have the scriptures and scriptures are great, but he also made this entire world, right? And everything that's in it. And we can really, by observing and taking in his creations, learn so much. It's important not to forget that. All right. Well, thank you all for coming. I hope that you enjoy the rest of this amazing conference. We have so many good things in store for you all today and tomorrow. And I appreciate your participation and for joining us.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.